And welcome to this interesting edition of the 920 Podcast. I'm Logan Quinton. Chuck is shipwrecked, lost at sea, or at least his phone service is. He's a beach bum for this week, licking his wounds, pouring some sand in him. He'll be back with us next week. We tried to connect, and like I said, just wanted to give Chuck the opportunity to rest and relax, not worry about finding good service out there. We all know how those hotels, resorts, condos can be with Wi-Fi. So I'm going solo today. So this podcast feels very different. The Vols are not in Omaha. Charlie is not here, but I'm going to try to do it. I've got some great notes for the Omaha title series. Oklahoma, Ole Miss. I'm sure some of you want us to talk about Tennessee, maybe hear our thoughts. Some of you may just not want to think about Tennessee baseball until at least the fall series. But I feel in our best interest to at least eulogize what was the 2022 season for the Volunteers. And we will touch on that next episode. But for now, it is all about Oklahoma, Ole Miss, previewing this series. Some of you have been following along on Twitter, following some bets. It's been a very profitable year for me betting on college baseball. I hope it's been the same for you guys. I really love interacting with you guys on the Twitter streets, especially when it comes to betting, because I take it seriously. If you're recreational, like, I've been there before. Done it. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed by any means when it comes to betting, but, you know, I do this for a reason, and take it very seriously. The postseason has been strange. It's not been quite as profitable, but some parts have been really good, and there's still edges out there. So we're going to go over that. But first, let's touch on takes from Omaha. So far, obviously, you have Mississippi and Oklahoma. I think it is a fantastic matchup. But before we dig into that, I'd like to say, you know, the Aggies of A&M, what a performance. What an absolute performance by them. The whole season, the whole way. I think they're a very likable team. I did not think they would make it as far as they did, even though I had a 70-1 ticket for A&M to win the whole thing. That was great value. I just still didn't think they were going to win the whole thing because of the pitching. Like, they overreached their potential week after week when, you know, they just don't have a lot there to offer pitching-wise in terms of depth and some skill. But I love the team. I love Micah Dallas. He's a bulldog. Like, he does not have exceptional stats at all as a pitcher. But when you go back and look, we've talked about this, he just wins big ball games for them. And Nathan Detmer, he's a really good ace for that staff. Polish is an exceptional arm in the pen. In the end, it just wasn't enough. And that's not why they dropped out of Omaha. Bats died. But again, they just did not, what they were doing on the, how they were getting by on the mound and scoring a ton of runs just wasn't sustainable. And then another team I've circled is Auburn. Not too disappointed with them and their performance. I'm surprised they couldn't get the bats going in Omaha. But they did face some exceptional pitching along the way. I mean, Dylan DeLucia, when that Stanford game that they won, they faced Dowd and Matthews. And then they faced McIntyre from Arkansas, who just ate them alive. What a performance by Mac. Hats off to Auburn. They had a really good pitching staff, I felt like, and they were able to get the bats going. You know, some teams get to Omaha and just turn it up a notch. I'm not in love with that Auburn lineup. Obviously, I have Sonny D, Blake Grambush, and the like, but it's a far cry from, let's say, a Tennessee lineup or even an A&M lineup. A&M is just so tough 1-9, but Auburn can get hot just like any other SEC team, and I felt like if they got the bats going, they could do some damage, but that didn't happen. What we've ended up with, like I said, Oklahoma Sooners, Ole Miss Rebels. Ole Miss is going in for the first time, going after that first national championship in baseball. Oklahoma is going for their third title. This is their 11th appearance overall in the College World Series. So I just absolutely love this matchup. You've got Oklahoma as a team that looks far different from what we saw in Houston when the Vols were out there with Oklahoma, Baylor, Texas. It was a Big 12 versus SEC frenzy, so to speak. I think UCLA was in that mix, but essentially it was a kind of like a Big 12 SEC deal, like they have in basketball, is what it felt like to me. And Oklahoma is much different from the time that we saw them there when the Vols took them down. Vols 4-0 against the title series teams, by the way, to just put that in perspective. Makes the wound hurt a little more, but I digress, and we will talk about this matchup specifically. Oklahoma has yet to trail in Omaha. They've scored no less than 5 runs since the Supers, and with Ole Miss, it's been a little more hit or miss with them. Oklahoma, I feel like, has been a steady force throughout the whole tournament. Ole Miss is one in, you know, different ways. Whether we've saw the last couple of ball games against Arkansas, very low scoring games. They won the last one 2-0. You know, outstanding performance by Dylan DeLucia. I cannot think of a pitching performance of that magnitude in Omaha in quite some time. I mean, it's at least in the BB Corps era. That was just all time. DeLucia has been amazing. They rode him so hard, ending the season, then into the postseason. And then the legend of Tim Elko is alive and well. Mississippi has so much going for him. When you got guys, your captain in Elko, who came back, had an ACL surgery last year, it's just such a great story for him. And then Dylan DeLucia, a guy that was a veteran Bulldog pitcher that was in the bullpen for the first half of the season, and then they needed to figure something out. They needed another one. You had a young Hunter Elliott, and then a young Derek Diamond, but you needed a force really on that weekend staff, and Dylan DeLucia stepped up and said, "Hey, you know what? I'll grab this thing by the wheel and not let go." And it's been an upward trajectory ever since for DeLucia. And then Oklahoma, Peyton Graham is just, what a prospect that guy is. Shortstop. You look at his frame and might not be too worried, but then when you watch the guy play, you realize it's potential first round pick in the future. As far as pitching matchups go for this series, for Oklahoma, it's cut and dry, man. Like, it couldn't have laid out any better. You know, it's the Omaha format can really skew some things in terms of what you're trying to do pitching-wise. Like, with Ole Miss, we know for a fact Dylan DeLucia is not throwing Saturday. And he's probably not throwing Sunday unless it's eighth or ninth inning, maybe. I don't even think they'll risk using him in any case on Sunday. But that's beside the fact. But with Oklahoma, you have a strong lefty in Jake Bennett. He has been fantastic for most of the year. He has been their steady force on the mound. Cade Horton, and then David Sandlin. I think it'll be in that order. Bennett, Horton, Sandlin. Horton and Sandlin are both righties. All three of these pitchers are redshirt sophomores. I thought that was strange. With Ole Miss, it's going to be, man, it's a little bit tougher to gauge, but I got to think it's going to be Derek Diamond, Hunter Elliott, and then DeLucia. It's a lot of things are going to probably change if Ole Miss loses the first game. But I really think that you've got Derek Diamond out there, fresh, probably ready to go. He's a great young prospect, highly touted recruit. He's not had a great season by any stretch, but he's had some great moments. Here lately, he's been really good. And, you know, I think Oklahoma definitely has the edge the first game. I just do not see them throwing Hunter Elliott first. He would be on short rest. I think 4 days rest is what it would be for Elliott, even though he's been so good for them of late. I really just see them going with, like, Gattis and or Diamond to start things off. Maybe they even go with, like, a staff day. Maybe open up with a bullpen piece and then get to Derek Diamond or something. I don't know, but I really think Oklahoma has the edge in the first game. Bennett, his last 5 outings, 32-6 strike-to-walk ratio, 10 earned runs in 28 innings. So He's been really, really good of late. Oklahoma has won 7 straight in games that Bennett has appeared, so that's an important note. The guy has an ability to pitch with even when his best stuff is not going. He's only given up 8 home runs on the year, but he's given up 4 his last 2 outings. So that's another one to watch. Ole Miss, you know, they're top 20 in the nation in home runs. They really, it seems like they're a team that the offense hasn't been fluid by any means the whole year or even the whole tournament. But it seems like it comes in bunches. When the home runs and the big gaps, you know, when they happen, seems to happen collectively in bunches. So that's something to watch. Horton, his last outing, 6 innings pitched, 11K, 2 walk, 2 earned versus Notre Dame, put the Irish out. Sandlin, 7 innings pitched the last game. That was the one that advanced him to the title series. And he had 12 strikeouts, 1 walk, 1 earned against the Aggies. Man, this staff is just on fire right now. Oklahoma can beat you in so many ways. No one is better at running the bases than Oklahoma. And like I said, they've got hitters. They, like Peyton Graham, they can hit around the ballpark. They're not a power-hitting club by any means, but you can run the bases like they do. And the way this pitching staff's going right now, man, they're such a tough out. They're averaging 8 runs a game in the tournament, and it's been consistent production. I mean, you look at Ole Miss, they're averaging 7.5 runs in the tournament, but they've scored 5 or less 5 times. They had a 22-run outing. I think they had a 13-run outing. So those couple of games have really skewed their numbers. Like I said, the past couple of games, not a whole lot of crooked numbers on the board for Ole Miss. As far as the Rebels pitching is concerned, they've got the better stuff. Ole Miss has some really good young talent and some really good veteran talent in the pitching staff. And you've heard Charlie and I talk about some of the plus metrics, you know, looking at hitting and pitching profiles. Ole Miss ranks 7th in the nation in stuff plus. 1.35 whip, which is top 25, probably a little bit higher. This is as of yesterday, before that game was filtered into the settings. K per 9, right at 10.9. 4th in the nation. So, if this was a weekend series that was laid out with proper rest for both teams, I may would give the edge to Ole Miss. But this first game, man, I'm thinking Sooners. Bennett's been so good. But Oklahoma's going to have to win this game, this first game. They're going to have to win it both ends of the game. They can't allow Ole Miss to go up, get ahead. Like I said, Oklahoma has not trailed yet this tournament. So if Tim Elko gets intentionally walked and Rebs come behind him, slap a hit, and then hit a home run 3, you get down 2-0, 3-0 early on to these Rebels. Man, they can really get it rolling, and it's not going to matter if they have John Gaddis or Derek Diamond out there. I really feel like that would light a fire. What a matchup. What a matchup. It's real tough for me because, like I said, Ole Miss has the better stuff on their pitching staff. Oklahoma is trending in the really, really good direction on the season. The Sooners' K per 9 is top 70. It may be top 60 now after taking care of the Aggies, but nonetheless, I mean, it's still good. But their WHIP 1.47, even with those stats factored in from the game against the Aggies, it's not going to bring that WHIP down enough to really put it in a good category. Once that WHIP's around 1.5, that's kind of alarming. But like I said, the Sooners are so hot right now, improving in so many areas when it comes to the pitching staff. They took them so long to figure out a weekend staff. Remember when the Vols faced them back in Houston in March, like Chaz Martinez was kind of labeled as maybe this young cat is the guy that's going to be the ace on this squad, because you didn't really have one, and now Martinez is stuffed in the bullpen, as good as he is, as talented as he is. It's going to be a fun one. In the end, you know, it is what it is. Like, the Ribs, you know, I don't think they're exhausted by any means, but the pitching, the way it laid out for them to get to this point, I think it's going to be a factor. Like, I want to lean Rebels here because of the metrics we discussed going into the tournament. If you remember, we looked at K per nine and whip, and if you are going on the last 2 years, what has happened there with the national champions, it ended up being teams that were basically in the top 20 in both categories. And that's been a tendency for the past decade in the BB Corps era, even when the bats weren't, or the balls, probably the balls were a little more dead, but like, go back to the years Virginia won and Coastal Carolina. K-9 was like 6.8 for both those squads. You were seeing teams, you know, with a whip of 1.3, be very effective, and K-9 around 6. But even then, those squads ranked really good in both categories. Even though they were outliers, it wasn't like they had some pedestrian pitching staff that just happened to get hot in Omaha. So if you think that trend's going to continue, like with what we've seen the past 2 years, or past two title contenders with Mississippi State and Vanderbilt, if that trend continues, you're looking at Ole Miss, because they have the nastier pitchers and they're going to find a way to get, they got the better bullpen. I'll give them that. They have the better bullpen, and the bullpen's kind of fresh, really. So if Ole Miss takes this first game, I think they've got it. It's going to be hard for them not to have it. Oklahoma needs the first one more than Ole Miss does, in my opinion, and I think they're going to get it. That's my best bet for Saturday. Oklahoma, I've seen them everywhere. Right now, even money up to minus 10. I think minus 10 is totally playable. That indicates a coin flip. And this edge in the first game, considering the fact that Ole Miss is going to have to go to Derek Diamond in all likelihood, I really like what Jake Bennett's doing. I love how this Sooner team can beat you in so many ways. Ole Miss is vulnerable here. I was wanting to try to attack this as a total series prop, but no value at all. No way in the world am I paying juice for Ole Miss, you know, in a three-game set with the situation that's laid out. So I'm going with Saturday, Oklahoma. We'll grade it at minus 10, because that's the shortest odds I've seen. But yeah, totally playable. I wouldn't pay much more juice than that, but I really think Oklahoma has the edge. We'll see. DeLucia, like I said, that's, if you're a college baseball fan, you want to see him again. You want to see him out there. Man, it's going to be so risky if they want to use him at all on Sunday. I think he's definitely available Monday if they get at that point, obviously, but if they're down 0-1 come Sunday, I definitely think it's Elliott to start off things. But if you get in leverage, they do have the bullpen to withstand the leverage. But just the thought of, you know, Dylan DeLucia not getting a shot in the title series, man, it feels so weird, because the guy, the last 16 and two-thirds, he has thrown 17 strikeouts, 0 walks. I mean, the guy's just been phenomenal of late. In the whole tournament, 38 strikeouts to just 3 walks. Man, I'm so pumped about this series. I mean, even though the Vols aren't here, I'm still watching. I know a lot of, it's hard on a lot of folks, but I love this sport. This is a dumb, crazy, beautiful sport, and it's my favorite sport. It can humble you in so many ways, and it can fulfill you in so many ways. And I couldn't be more happy to be in this spot as a Tennessee fan, knowing that this is the expectation. You know, it hurts so bad because this is the expectation now. And that's crazy to think that just a few short years ago, all we wanted was a competitive product, something that wouldn't be an embarrassment. And it's far from that. So I'll leave you guys with that. We're going to finish eulogizing Tennessee next week when Charlie's back. The pain is like a sunburn, man. Hurts like hell. It can be nagging, peeling off the layers. But eventually, we're going to shine. We're going to look good. We're going to shine and feel good about ourselves. So that's what we're going to do next week. Charlie's going to be back. And we're going to eulogize Tennessee. We're going to recap Omaha. And we're going to recap the whole season. Our takeaways from the probably the SEC the season as a whole. It was such a fun ride. I appreciate each and every one of you sticking through, sticking with us, staying locked in. Hey, let's make some money tomorrow, folks. Or today if you're listening on Saturday. Oklahoma minus 110. Get that even money if you can. Plus 100 I've seen out there. And let's start feeling good about ourselves. All right, folks. Check back with us next week. For now, I'm out. Logan Quinton at LDQ Sports. See you on the flip side.